Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Balance Podcast. Our guest today, to be honest with you, this is someone who, in the world of well-being, sort of needs no introduction. It's Fiona Arrigo, someone who was doing well-being many, many years before well-being was deemed, you know, trendy, on vogue, call it whatever you like. Well-being is something that a lot of companies have, at Balance, it's something we notice more and more companies are trying to piggyback well-being as a means of a PR exercise, a means of appearing to be doing the right thing so that you buy their products. Then when you actually look into it, what are they really doing? Whereas today's guest, Fiona Arrigo, is someone who has been living this life, walking the walk, talking the talk. Should have said those the other way around, but quite deep into this intro now. Her website here says more than 40 years of experience. You know, it's absolutely extraordinary. She's the founder of the Arrigo program. She's an internationally acclaimed, much loved psychotherapist, intuitive healer, mentor, and life teacher. And so for me to chat with her was an education. I'm someone that has been on his own well-being journey for around 20 years now. Whenever I first read Paul McKenna's Change Your Life in 7 Days, that's what started it for me. Fiona, I mean, is quite simply on another level. And so from my point of view, on this episode, I listened, I learned, I was educated, and it was on a personal level, it was a real thrill to learn from someone such as Fiona. Quite an extraordinary story, how she got into it from off the back of two car accidents, and then that ended up paving the way for her own well-being journey. This is somebody who opened a wellness retreat in 1990. So anyway, me giving the full backstory a remarkable life, really. You can find out more at the arrigoprogram.com. That is Fiona's website. You will find individual retreats, group retreats. You can work with Fiona online. There's a London clinic. There's ways to contact Fiona. And as we come out of lockdown, I would say, if you are curious, want to find out more, I would say that Fiona is someone, as we all need to heal, Fiona is someone we would all probably do well to drop a line. So if you are remotely interested and curious, please do get in touch with Fiona. As I say, that website, thearrigoprogram.com, we will hyperlink it in the episode, as always. Here she is, the frankly remarkable Fiona Arrigo. From reading about you, and obviously I'm mindful and respectful of what's gone on around the planet, but given what's gone on, what you do, it's never felt more pertinent, has it, really?
Absolutely. I mean, we are in serious times, James. You know, there's this divisiveness between all us that are waking up, you know, seeking answers, wanting to do it differently, setting a new code of care. And then there's all the turbulence and where we're becoming de-hooked and the system that isn't working. So I think anybody that's doing work right now, which is always my message, is it's You know, the work depends on the work that we're individually doing. It's no longer the age. Of course, we can go to teachers and great books and great podcasts and all these things, but actually it is about us doing what we can personally for, I believe, for the collective whole.
Do you think that what happened, there was almost a global, and again, you know, I keep having to say this, relatively speaking, I'm aware of what was going on. But do you think did you feel a sense of an awakening for a lot of people? A lot of people speaking for myself, speaking to the people with whom I'm in contact, you know, on an anecdotal level, it certainly felt that way. And I'm guessing from your vantage point, you felt the same.
Yeah. I think, you know, there's been masses and masses and masses of doctrines that have been written about this point in time.
Yeah.
And it, you know, everything says or points towards that we are taking our first collective initiation. And in the old days, it used to be one avatar or one guru or one. So you could say Jesus Christ or Gundi, Gandhi, yep, or something, you know. But now it's the collective waking up. And so first knock on the door is COVID. Most, you know, in some ways we could romanticize it, which I certainly did, and many aspects spoke about it and saying, you know, that we've been put in Mother Nature's waiting room.
Yeah.
Really consider who we are as people and what have we done. But likewise, you know, the journey continues as we go further and further into it, because like it or not, we must make changes. We can't sustain on any level who we are, what we've done, how we've treated each other. We need a whole new template, which is also referred to as the Aquarian Age. So, you know, how do we become newer types of people with different value systems in a world that isn't quite ready for it yet? So it's like we're all like almost like a giant octopus working from the inside out. And so it is massive what's happening right now. And thus, all our work is super relevant. Every single person, every cell within this planet is relevant. And we can't avoid that. I think this is the time of change and transition. Whereas in the past, we could have said, oh, it's the Prime Minister's fault, or it's the weather's fault, or God didn't get the design right, or I didn't get the right milk, or my mother didn't love me. And even those stories, those narratives can still continue. It's more like this is personal responsibility time. This is we've got to mature and grow up and get with the new program and do as much as we possibly can within ourselves without pressurizing, without blaming and shaming and belittling and making ourselves less. We have to realize, you know, it is our lives that affect the whole now. And we've got to, I think we've got to get very clear on that.
And that's,
we all have a different song. You know, we all have different songs to sing. That's just my one.
But that's a very powerful, well, you know, what you've just said there is actually very powerful. I think pre-COVID, a lot of people around the world, we sort of gave our life to the, maybe perhaps it was the multinational conglomerate that we worked for. You know, we became just another drone. And it felt like there was this, and again, I use the word awakening again, and something that you've just touched on there. People realised the power of the individual. They perhaps valued their worth more than they ever would have done had that not happened.
What do you mean during COVID?
Yes, rather than just getting up, getting on the train, working for the company, yeah, coming home, the best way possible, all of that was blown out of the water, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was in the best way possible, by the way, respectfully. But
I might edit that bit out.
We can banter and disagree. But I think that, you know, all these switches that have happened, which is what you just mentioned, you know, that we go off to take, in the old age, pre-COVID, we went off to work in the West. We thought we could have everything. You know, that we had a credit card, we could fly when we want, we can buy when we want, we can eat out, we can do everything. We were just coming out of this intense entitlement and pressure that we have pressed on our resources on the earth. And coming in now, I think where we're all beginning to see from this reflection point, or not all of us, but some of us, that we can't be in this massive age of consumerism anymore. We have to kind of look at it differently. What are we buying? You know, what do we agree to? What, you know, if we're political, what are we aligning to? You know, how are we in our relationships? You know, how do we treat, you know, this relationship to our plants, to our animals? It's a much more intact possibility of living in this different way of connection, interconnectedness. So we can't just take things for granted, which is what you were possibly saying. You know, we were on the machine. I often say, in the kind of serving the god of avarice, serving the god that you can have everything if you're good and you play the game correctly, and we will reward you. And then, you know, what's our rewards? We get sick, we get cancer, the planet's dying, the water's polluted. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but nevertheless, the result of how we've been trained to think needs a massive re-examination. You know, all that's going on the planet, the abuse to our kids, the sex trafficking, all the things that you probably know about and talk about. If we're unhealthy within ourselves, we have to understand without, again, pressurizing, but knowing that how are we contributing to this today? And a year ago, 18 months ago, as a collective, this wasn't even in our consciousness. We may have got it if we had a green juice and went to a yoga camp or did a few breaths. We didn't really get the seriousness. And again, I don't want this to be heavy, because life should also be beautiful and joyous and fun and liberating. But we are in a serious moment where we haven't done a great job.
Are you optimistic for the future, though? Do you think this will be enough to collectively shock us into taking on more active change?
Such a good question. It's a great question. And I'm optimistic as a person, and I believe that we have the potential. And again, going into the more esoteric doctrines, you know, it all points to us coming out of this age into a more, inverted commas, enlightened time. And I'm buying that movie. I'm buying that we as humans can learn, that we are fundamentally good people. I know there's a lot of shit here. I know there's a lot of pain, a lot of darkness, a lot of control, a lot of this going on. My view is pure view, where I see people as being the best possible potential that they can be. And that's the one I hold. So on that, I believe, with a lot of prayer, with a lot of good education, with a lot of raising of awareness, that we will start to unplug and become more conscious. And that's what's needed. I mean, there's enough people and there's enough resource on this earth to change us in a nanosecond. It's just rebalancing all these levels of power and control and pharmaceuticals and all this that we have to learn to, in a way, well, it's restoring the balance and restoring a moral coherence to our lives that we haven't been able to live under, I think.
I mean, for many of our listeners will be very aware of you and your work. But for anyone who isn't au fait, by the way, I'll have done an introduction before. I'll have teed you up and made you sound like the well-being icon that you are. So anyone who isn't au fait will be au fait.
I'm not that interested in being an icon. I just want to do good, honest work.
You take the compliment, my friend. Now I'm being careful how I frame this. The fact that you launched that initial program, was it 1990? Is that correct?
I can only go by how old my kids are. So those are my benchmarks. So my eldest is 37, and when I started all this, he was 5. So 32 years ago, James.
Yeah. But I mean, you had that retreat, because a lot of people who've got into you know, this world, call that whatever you like, you know, well-being and what have you. I know some people think it's a relatively new thing, but I mean, you've been doing this for, well, as I say, since the late 80s, early 90s.
Like 32 years.
So how did you get into it?
Well, it was a journey. It started, there were all sorts of different flavors that brought this together. The first retreat was called Stop the World. It was in Somerset, where I'm still based some of the time. And it came as a result from two very serious car accidents that I had, where I was written off that I was going to die, and I had to learn to use yogic practices to heal and get well. That period of my life, which was like a 5-7 year cycle, not only I drew amazing teachers to me, it was like a book shut when I was 27, 28, which is in astrological terms of my Saturn return. And I went out from kind of London modelly, good time girl into meeting my life ending and having to learn to walk again and live with pain and all sorts of, you know, extraordinary things. But most of all, to really meet myself. And through this meeting of how can I learn to walk, how can I learn to move, all these other worlds started to open up for me. And that, you know, after an initial, I don't know, 5-6 years of training, the vision really of recreating, which is really what I'm still doing, but it's got many different hats, but offering a place where people could come home to themselves, and using that analogy of coming home, which is how I've set up all the retreats. What would it be like if you had food that was really great for you, exercise that really worked for you, therapy that really understood your soul, places that helped you to feel okay about yourself and give you time to process, to step out of this vast world of demand and come into some space, which is what I invented all those years ago, a time to heal. And I kind of took aspects of my Irish roots, which was my grandmother's cooking and sitting round a table with out of control madness, and what that gave to me. I just took life experiences, and I took my experiences of being in Jamaica with my grandfather and how flowers and smells and heat and all these sorts of things influenced my life. And I kind of started with that, along with my own recovery and along with various trainings that I'd done. So, yeah. Did that answer the question?
Oh, my gosh, Fiona. Honestly, that's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, I know everyone's journey is different, but I'd read about you. I didn't realize it was something so tragic that had put you on that path. I mean, that is extraordinary. I mean, given what you've been through, and then given the impact that you've had, can you just say a bit about? I know you don't do this for gratification. But yet, at the same time, then that must be powerful when you will see this firsthand, the impact that you've been able to have on people's lives through your work. I mean, that I imagine it must be quite overwhelming.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's overwhelming. I feel that since I was a little girl, you know, I had this relationship with service and compassion. And wanting to help, that I was kind of born with that stamp. And, you know, with my own fragmented childhood, which if any psychologist is listening, of course, you know, you're always in the honesty and the authenticity. We're always walking our own healing journey. You know, I always say we're walking each other home, you know, heart to heart, hand in hand. We're walking each other home, one heart at a time. And I mean, this was a journey of also everything that I didn't get that I then wanted to reproduce in the world. So healing my own life story, and what I've been privileged and honored to do is to heal each other, you know, to work with not each other, but to work with so many people through this modality that I discovered along the way.
Can you share a bit about the new codes for living? Because I mean that was quite a remarkable thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, new codes was, you know, there were very simple, sweet downloads that happened just before COVID broke out. So in about November 2019, then I took a retreat of about 22 women to India in February. And when I was there, and we were shut off, obviously, from the outside world, but things were, you know, some news was trickling through. And this kind of vision, inspiration, to talk about new ways to be and adaptations of value systems and to kind of support each other to really live with a very clear arrow of our footsteps of where we want to be in the world. And so this was a kind of philosophy of living, establishing codes, and it could be codes of care, codes of compassion, codes of forgiveness, codes of coherence, codes of restoration, codes of nonviolent communication, and just taking sections, which is what I've done in New Codes of Living, which is now running at its third term, which is we have a beautiful conscious group of women. It's not again, you know, it's just turned out that it's working with women, and we meet and we discuss codes of how can we be the best human beings we can, how can we support each other in a very pragmatic, this isn't 9,000 pranayama breaths or 2,000 yoga positions. This is just here now grounded. What's coming up today and how can I implement a switch where I'm going to be supported to make different decisions about my life and reclaiming choice. If the one thing that we are lucky enough to have in the West is choice, and let's not waste it. And trying for all of us, and you know, and I always say, I'm certainly not in a position of having mastered. I'm in a position of really learning this together. But these questions are very important to ask ourselves as many times in the day as we possibly can. Am I wasting my life energy? What am I actually doing with my life? How am I contributing? What do I want to see in the world? What part am I playing in it? We have to wake up. We can't just be sitting la-di-la, switch on, switch off. I'll have a green juice and do a yoga position and then everything's going to be fine. It isn't. We want to stop war, stop it inside. If we want peace, be peaceful inside. We come in to an age of congruency. This is, in a way, the new age, the Aquarian age. And so this is why, you know, we need to be as clear as we can on the inside so that that's reflected as, in a way, an offering to the outside world. We can't sit back. And I'm very passionate about this, you know, our internal activism. It doesn't mean we need to be shouting. Some people are great shouters. It doesn't mean that we need to be on a soapbox. Thank you for all the incredible people that are and have changed our lives, which allow us to have these conversations. But I believe it's the little gestures today where we can gain self-esteem. And how are you looking after your body? And, you know, have you been nice to your wife? And all these things, we need to get conscious. And this is what the codes are about. Gentle reminders of how we're connected, how we're interconnected. And there's a beautiful phrase that Caroline Meiss, do you know her work?
No.
Oh, she's incredible. She's an amazing mystical teacher.
Caroline
Meiss, M-Y-A-S-S. She's a teacher and she's kind of like strong teacher. But she did talk about, and I use this often, where she talks about we're switching now in these times from, rather than living from the love of power and shifting into the power of love. And I feel this is so important for now, you know, in this inside out world we're living in, and how can we expand and become more? And how do we deal with the absolute terror and conflict and confusion and not knowing? And everywhere you look, we're in such confusion. Should we do this? Should we do that? How do we integrate to even come out? I mean, COVID has massively affected people. I mean, yes, we talk about mental health, but it's you know, people are confused, people are slowing down, people are angry. You know, it's a big story of how we're going to come out of this, if we do.
Now, I know from your website, you are doing this long COVID healing program. Could you just, I mean, that, you know, there's, you know, even again, anecdotally, there's someone I know who's, it seems that their very personality has changed. They're married, they've got children. Their wife's finding it hard because this person's personality has changed, such was the impact of COVID. I mean, you know, it's not threat, it's real. What's happened with long COVID is a very real thing, and it's going to impact a lot of people. For anyone listening who might know someone like that, what can they do with you, Fiona? How do they get in touch, and what might that program look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, of course, that people can always get in contact with me, and I'm forever here to help. But I think that, you know, again, you know, supporting people, I think most of all what people need is pause, and we're going to have to continue. I talk a lot about this, James, this need for pause and silence and reflection, because all our lives, you know, in a way we could say we've been arrested, we've been stopped. And, you know, just in our life force going out to achieve things has suddenly been arrested and stopped. And so how do we even reclaim motivation? How do we even reclaim trust? You know, what I'm able to offer is I've got New Codes of Living, which is an online service. We've got long COVID recovery for people that have been sick. We've got short-term recovery for people that just want to figure out, am I left, right, up, down? Who am I in all this? This is the big question. Who am I and who do I want to be? And then I'm starting group retreats, which are going to be dealing with the subjects that I think are relevant for this year. Grief over, you know, grief is such, as you know, a big subject today as we are raising the taboo of all these subjects. So grief of loss of job, loss of direction, loss of someone, loss of relationship. I'm also doing retreats on bounce back, how we reset our inner resilience, how we reset our as I say, our North Star, how we restore. And for me, as much as I use very deep healing models, it's very much all the things that I'm doing is about education, because I think education sets us free. And my deepest wish is that, you know, we can all reclaim our value and our esteem and offer that back to life and somehow turn this corner that we are not necessarily everything we have thought we have been in an identification crisis, which is called the world.
Now, I'm a positive chap. There's a phrase I've used, and some listeners will be, you know, a little bit sick when I repeat this, but not glass half full, not glass half empty, just grateful to have a glass in the first place. So this is, I live my life through this like overly optimistic, probably naive prism. But so this is how I'm framing this question, I guess. Obviously, you know, it has been an incredibly painful 12 to 14 months, but this is an opportunity for people. It's a phrase my therapist once used on me, to go on this journey of the self. Yeah. And if people think of it like that, then there is something almost exciting about that. You know, people are in a lot, so many people are in so much pain right now, but at least if they tell themselves, if I go on this journey of the self, then something magical can happen. And that might sound naive, but is there something in that, Fiona?
No, of course there is. And the most important thing is that there's something in that for you. You know, there is. We come into this, you know, I would say the journey of the self, the journey of the soul. Ultimately, that's the great journey. That's what we're all doing here, is to make that connection. But, you know, it's a timing portal, and it's a timing moment. If we are going on that journey, and I love that what you said, you know, you're optimistic and you see the good in everything. And I don't think that's naive. I think that's just what I would say, your fire, your energy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fire, that's what you share, and you give your heart and your optimism and your care and belief in good things and all that. And that raises consciousness. That helps. But I think in the end of the day, you know, we're all going to meet the maker at some point, which is the journey of the self, the mythological journey, returning home to yourself and finding out who you truly are. So you become in this next cycle, which again, esoterically is 2,500 years or 2,800 years. Well, we start, you know, we're not going to argue about 300. At my age, we're not. But, you know, it's like it is this age where we become very accountable, which we've been talking about. And that is this reclaiming of our relationship with the deep inner self. And that's an adventure. And, of course, that can be fun. And when we really get that, everything, all these other kernels of fear and lack of doubt and confidence and all these ones start to chip away, and then you're suddenly like, whoa, and here's life, and isn't it fantastic? And it is, but it doesn't mean that it's easy, and we can't oversimplify, and yet we need to be simple. It's paradoxical.
So, I mean, that, oh my gosh, isn't that the truth? Now for anyone listening, that, you know, there's the individual retreats, the group retreats, there's the online work, but is there anything, Fiona, that you could share for anyone who perhaps has lost their way or needs some sort of education? Is there anything, perhaps an exercise or some such that you could share with the listener?
Oh my goodness, I'd be so happy to do that.
Totally. Oh, that's so kind.
No, of course. I mean, for me, the most important thing you can do is stop, quieten everything down, and listen. And take away that you have to be in some long meditation. You don't. You do shorts, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Take a breath, come back to you, identify, how am I really feeling? Take a breath. What's going on in my body? Take a breath. Practice loving kindness. Practice inner compassion. Go for a walk in nature. Breathe. Slow down. And you absolutely dose yourself in love. You are okay. I am okay. I am here now. I am here now, breathe. I am love, breathe. I am peaceful, breathe. Let it be. Or I am exciting. I am optimistic. I am. Stop. Let it breathe. Come away from everything that you're looking at on the screen, listening to television, this wonderful podcast. Come away. Come away. Come back to yourself and breathe and dare to disengage and slow down for 5 minutes, 20 times a day. And that will start to build bridges back to yourself. You know, we've got, in a way, you know, we've been told that we need to do so much, even on the energetic, spiritual, psychological path. I would like to reverse that and say you don't have to do so much. Slow down, breathe, pause, pay attention, give value that you have a body, you're breathing, your blood's circulating, your muscles are pumping, whatever's going on, you have a body. Let yourself connect to your nervous system, to your body, and breathe. From that comes intuition. From that comes instinct, that you become your own guide. And try, I don't know how many practices these are that I was talking about, but try not to listen to too much on the outside. There's too much information and we're all getting lost in it. Come back to you and breathe. Look at the sky, look at the earth. Slow it down and breathe.
Tell you what, that was honestly, if it was acceptable to applaud on a podcast, I'm going to do it. That was Fiona. That was incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much. I need to put that on a loop just for myself on a purely selfish level. Based on what we've talked about, is there a danger that too many people throw themselves back into life? You know, do we need to take baby steps with as we come out of what's happened?
Walk carefully, walk softly, walk compassionately, and walk slowly. Walk carefully, walk compassionately, walk softly, and walk slowly. And pay attention, you know, because the outside world is very seductive. Based on noise, based on distraction. And so we lose ourselves. And yes, so take it slow and ask every day, 3 times a day, is this serving me? Do I agree? Is this my highest good? Will somebody else benefit from this? Just those 4 questions. Because that's that break pause that we're talking about. You know, we talked earlier about slow down and breathe. You know, it's like we need break pauses in the collective psyche so you're not being carried along without your mind in somebody else's mind. You don't need to be in anybody else's mind. You need to be in your own, establishing your own current and contributing that. This is the shift, if we can make it, that's needed. But if we've lost our mind into the outside world because of demand and we must have and we've got to pull it all together again, what the F? We absolutely don't need. We need to be going in the other direction. We don't need to be pulling it all together as it was. We have to find different ways to co-create this story differently, to reimagine a different story, to dream a new narrative. And we can't do that if we're running on the outside, trying to keep up with a world that doesn't work, James. It just doesn't work. It's crazy. And we're all there like little ducks, you know, underneath the water with our little feet.
That's right.
You know, trying to keep up with something that doesn't work. And it's not, you know, you've done enough work, I've done enough work. It isn't to blame, to shame, to criticize, to deface, to pull things apart. Is to be a kind of a peaceful warrior on this earth, which is finding a way to walk in your own, whatever that is, in peace. Peace is so important. P-E-A-C-E and P-I-E-C-E. Picking up the pieces leads to peace.
What do you what happened with us as a society? You know, more and more people off with stress, off with burnout, people living off their nerves. I mean, you know, I certainly had it 10 or 15 years ago. You know, absolute burnout. What happened? Is it simply capitalism? Is it, you know, is it something else?
Yeah, I think it is. It's got a lot to do with capitalism, and of course, it's got to do with education. You know, we haven't, if you'd come in, you know, twice a week and just spoken like this authentically to kids in school, you know, what and the pressure that children are under from age five, we're wired. We're born often into parents that are wired. We're picking up all the genes, wired. We're shoved off to school. We're taught that in order to achieve, we need to have all this. And we're constantly being educated to live outwards. So the reason by the time we get to 14 today, we're burnt out. And, you know, we've got this epidemic of unbelievable anxiety in 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds. And this is, it's such a huge conversation, and I'm no expert, but just from living and watching the food that we've eaten, the water that we don't, you know, the not having access to really good water, toxins going into our body, education, you know, you've got to get these O-levels, you've got to get these A-levels, peer pressure, and then all the age of over-information, which is called the internet.
Yeah.
So we never let off, where our nervous systems are fried. So how on earth does the poor human even get to, and then we've got all the disease now, massive mental health. I mean, so many young women with endometriosis, so much, you know, cancer everywhere, 8-month-year-olds, 9 months. It's in our face. We have to get back to something else. We don't have to regress and go back to how it was, but we need to learn some, which is what your podcasts are about, some sort of balance where we're in line with something, you know, I would call it the field, where we've got these still points within our structures that take us back to some basic communion. It isn't about this constant traveling in order to get to feel bad if we haven't achieved the mythos. And the mythos was all based on avarice, wasn't it? You know, be 6 stone, get a guy with a Ferrari, you know, become a football player. I mean, apologies to anybody listening if you are this, but does this create, you know, does it create happiness? It's our, you know, what we've been in a way that the this is why I say we can rewrite the story, which is everything we've been told that is going to make us happy. Has it?
I'm right in thinking you do a lot of work with couples, don't you, with these retreats?
Yeah, I mean, I will work with anybody that I feel is right, couples. You know, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, anybody that you know, everybody's welcome. And it's you know, it's anybody that wants to. I'm very interested in the healing, you know, healing. It's not, of course, I've got a background in psychology and psychotherapy and all that, but fundamentally, at this great age, I'm a healer, and that's what I'm interested in doing.
But I mean, Through looking it through the prism of, say, a couple, I mean, what, and I, you can tell I'm selfishly asking this for myself here, but what so many couples went through this past year plus, you know, before lockdown, I'll speak for myself. You would head out for the day, you'd see your wife in the evening, you might spend 1 or 2 hours together a day if you're lucky, and then obviously that became the other end of that. You know, you were with each other 24/7, and that, you know, and such are the vagaries of lockdown life, that was not without its challenges. But I imagine You must have couples knocking your door down, surely.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I have. I don't know if I have couples knocking my door down, actually. I think it's the whole story of everybody is, so many people are looking for guidance. And with, of course, being locked up with each other, all the relationship cracks are going to be showing up. And again, you know, what I'm working with the whole part of my team is on this kind of very powerful mirroring of who we are and what it's all reflecting. And also just exercising these very fundamental basics, which are, how much empathy do we have for each other? How much validation do we have for each other? And how much do we allow the other to be the other? Because it seems in our relationship histories, we want our partners to be us. And we don't seem to be able to establish this autonomy, which you are you, I am me, and how do we live together? Then lots of us in relationship models are stuck in past struggles. And they're difficult, and they will have been showing up as we've been, you know, caught and not being able to go outside. I mean, when was it? You know, for 3-4 months, we were hardly even allowed to go for a walk.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, you wonder that we will still be feeling the effects of this, you know, mentally, spiritually. We'll be feeling the effects of this for a long time, won't we? It's not as if we're just going to step out of this, puff our cheeks out and go, poof, what was all that about? I mean, the impact will be so much more profound, won't it?
Huge. And on all levels, you know, on all levels. I personally believe we're just at the tipping point of it right now. I think there's going to be a lot of other things that are going to keep us having to really dive deep into doing deep, deep work, because there's a lot that is not balanced. There's too many people that, you know, are homeless. There's too many people that don't have good food. There's too much poverty. There's too much money. You know, all this to go through into this next period, 2,500 years / 800, we are coming into an age, if we're to survive, of balance. Hence your podcast being so important. And so we can't have these huge imbalances, and when we're having to go through it, we're in the fire. The fire is not going to disappear because we're allowed out maybe next month and go to our favorite restaurant. We are in the fire, and it's going to carry on for a long time.
I might regret this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Call your wife, ask her.
Yeah. Darling. Well, I know we shouldn't talk politics. You know, I'm old enough. You know, I'm in my 40s. I remember when I was a kid, you know, mum would always say, you never talk about politics with anyone. It's you know, it's not the done thing. We live in an age now, it's almost the first thing that people talk about. Is there a concern? My worry with speaking about Britain is, for example, we like the idea of being good people. We like standing on the doorstep, clapping those NHS workers. But the way certain election results have gone suggests that we talk a good game, but we don't necessarily always play one, as reflected with food banks and so on. As you say, something somewhere has gone very, very wrong when you've got billionaires, and then also, you know, there's a food bank near me. I'm very proud. I do a lot of these online comedy shows. We did one recently, thanks to my friend James Acaster, we ensured that food bank, fingers crossed, will be all right for quite a while. Food bank is something that, if I think about it long enough, I will literally burst into tears. Is there a danger that, I guess what I'm getting at is, us modern Brits, have we become collectively too selfish?
Yeah, I mean, is it, you know, I'm going to just open that wider just to say, you know, is the entire Western world selfish? And the answer is yes. And that I believe we have to come out of the age of selfishness into the age of care. And this is a massive re-educational understanding that we can only do this together. and we have to take care of each other. It can no longer be singular. And of course, we could make this a massive political conversation. I'm not political. I prefer not to be political because to me, these are just concretizations of consciousness. But what I am interested in is spreading and opening up to a new way to be, which is the people in power are dealing in an old system and the old system isn't working anymore. We need the man on the street saying they want something different. We need a re-education across the board in everything. And we need to understand the only way through this is together. The only way. And we have to stop being so selfish. And we can't do this, like, unfortunately, in an eye of a needle. This is a whole process of reclaiming and learning to do it all differently. And also not giving our power away, because we've been massively in our own educational system, being given to Big Brother to be told that everything's going to be okay if you pay your taxes, if you do this, if you have a credit card, if you, whatever. And now that focus in order for us to survive has to come away from that. It can't be that. It's we have to really look at who and what we're giving our power to.
So, I mean, I'm guessing, I'm putting words in your mouth here, but things might get worse before they get better.
Things will get more intense.
I mean, do you think, you know, is it, do you think society, it's a case of, and it's going to take time, but society almost needs to start again, if you like?
If we could. We can't, unless something, you know, in a way, we could say that COVID was a soft touch. You know, we don't know what's, you know, we haven't had a third world war yet. We haven't had a massive tsunami again that could, you know, we know all these things that are going on in our biosphere and on our earth and on our planet and Mother Nature and all the rumblings. You know, we haven't, you know, still we, in this part of the world, we can go to the supermarket. But things could get tricky.
And you're absolutely right, because we do, you know, and I know everyone who listens to this podcast, historic readers of Balance, we all know that. Yeah, everything that you're touching about there, everything you've talked about there, we all know that something is happening, and I guess more of us just need to do something about it.
And I think the beauty, and, you know, to support your fire of optimism and everything that you see in your world, I think there is a lot of incredible consciousness that is waking up, and lots of people are saying no, and lots of people are not agreeing. I mean, it is all over the place. It's just getting into getting more of that, so that we can, in a way, move through this concretization of how things have been, and shed enough light or enough love or enough compassion or enough wisdom to be able to do it differently. And if we just keep working, I think if we look too far outside, we're going to get completely overwhelmed and devastated, which is why I say these simple day-to-day steps of how I can possibly be the best human being I want to be. How can I be the best friend, the best employer, the best whatever? How can I be generating and cultivating as much as I can to the collective in my personal life, is as far as I can go right now. And then what will appear in the next breath from that, we will have to see. But just what you're doing, you know, waking up the food bank around the corner, and, you know, and then there is that moment, isn't there, that when we go into crises, there was that moment in the first COVID that so many people were helping each other in that first breath. And then it just, you know, again, we can't really sustain it, because that's consciousness. That's kind of really developing consciousness so you can stay in that new thinking, new possibility. But we slip, and then we start to grumble, or we start to complain, or we start to say, I haven't got this, or why isn't this happening, or I can't do this, or why isn't that? And we start this never-ending complaining energy, which just entraps us.
Absolutely.
We need to keep doing this. We need to stop it. We need to, you know, this is, I feel like the grandmother that I am, having said that my kids still do not have children. If you're listening, please get on with it. But I can definitely say from the grandmother's years, you know, that maturity that I'm inviting people to come into is, I feel, very, very important for us as a collective. We have to, you know, make radical changes, and it starts with us. We look outside, we will get completely overwhelmed and just want to duvet dive because it's so big. And then we need to, you know, hang out with good people that are having good conversations.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, thank you so much for this chat. It's been remarkable. One question I have to ask before we go. The name of the podcast is The Balance Podcast. Please, may I ask, Fiona, what do you do for balance?
What do I do for balance?
Yes.
Well, I make sure 2 days a week I have, Saturday and Sunday, I have a long morning of what I call twaddle, which is I just drift and think and feel and allow and see where things take me. And in that 3.5 hours or 4 hours twice a week, I take time to return to myself. So I would think, dream, create, imagine, breathe. And in every day, when I go out of balance, which is not unusual, by the way, because I'm not a perfect model, I forgive myself and allow myself and inject a lot of Irish laughter.
That's a great answer.
No, it's not a perfect, there's no perfect way, but I do think this finding the still point or the zero point allows harmonization to take place within the field. And I think that's super important. So I try to do that. I'm fantastically busy. So I, you know, in the days I go for a walk or I just stop and I disconnect and I look like, you know, the Matrix unplugged, just psh, and then something else happens.
Fiona, thank you so much for everything. I'm incredibly grateful. That was lovely to listen and to learn from you. So thank you so much and huge congratulations with everything.
Yeah, bless you. Thank you. It's been so lovely to talk to you and to feel your heart and your care.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much, Fiona.
Yeah, good.
Take care. All the very best. And I hope those grandkids are on the way.
Children, are you listening?
Yeah. Thank you, Fiona. Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Huge and heartfelt thanks to Fiona Arrigo. As I say, an absolute... It's a bit of a schooling for me, to be honest with you. You know, I, as regular listeners know, try and read as much as I can. I've done a lot of classes and met many people through balance and undergone all sorts of treatments and so on. And then just by virtue of doing this podcasting, you know, I've chatted with all manner of wonderful people these past few years. But with Fiona, as I say, that was you know, and you have that moment where you think, ah, I've got so much more to learn. And you know what? It's good for the soul, isn't it, I suppose? So, again, huge thanks to Fiona and that website. Once again, thearigoprogram.com. Thank you very much, as always. If you've enjoyed the episode, please spread the word. Tell your friends. We are at BalanceLDN across the socials, and I'm at James Gill Comedy. Fiona, thank you once again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh.
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.